Did you disable your VPN?
Yeah.
You say yes like you have every time in the
except
past.
For one, maybe once. Once since I knew that it was a problem.
Okay, that's reasonable.
Okay.
Once since you knew. But
batting average about at least like, you know what, 11 out of 12, 12 out of 13, something like that.
Oh, higher than that. It's higher than that.
So you're just making my point.
No, I am making your point. Most of the time, you're getting it right.
Yeah.
However, the time that you don't,
right,
it is not, it's not a good thing.
So we're going to, you're going to keep asking me every time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 278 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver.
What's going on, Adam?
Stuff.
And plenty of it?
Yeah.
We gotta start with the weather. How's the weather there? Is it good?
It's spring, it's fine, yeah.
Uh-huh. Today was the first day in 6 days that it did not snow. Snow.
Global warming.
Not really.
Maybe the polar ice caps are just being shifted into your neighborhood.
Look, I don't really care why. It's just that on day five, and like, you know, we got rained out. We had baseball on Saturday, played the first game in the pouring rain, and then the second game got rained out.
Yeah.
Because it was like 3 degrees and raining. It was the most miserable I've ever played in my life. Like, it was just terrible.
Okay.
Did pitch 4 innings, though, so why not?
Yeah.
But second game got rained out, and then the next day it started to snow. And it didn't stick around.
Did you guys win?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I don't know. We're doing a reset this weekend.
Okay.
Reset. We're going to throw out the first quarter of the season and go, all right, we're starting again.
Okay.
Start fresh. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Hawks on three. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, so 5 days of snow. Finally, the sun just came out, and it was one of those things where it was legitimately 3 degrees.
Okay.
At the end of April. Normally, I wouldn't care. I've been so miserable. I don't know if I've ever been this miserable with weather before.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah. I used to live in Vancouver where it would, you know, rain for 9 straight months.
Yeah.
And that was not a problem. This was a problem.
And then it would start pouring.
Yeah, then it would start pouring, and then the sun would come out for a minute, and then you'd be like, all right, let's go outside, go for a run, and then bam, just get snowed on. So
I feel for you, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you, Siberia. Some Siberian wind blowing through, so.
But you can always get your umbrellas at Amazon.
Yeah, your umbrellas and your hypothermia treatment.
And your chicken noodle soup to warm you back up.
And if you lose your fingers to frostbite, I'm sure you can buy some prosthetics on Amazon.com.
Yeah, they have
If
those.
You do, click through our site and help us out. Help me buy my prosthetics.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Anything else going on with you?
Baseball. Baseball, T-ball. T-ball, baseball.
Or 7-year-old fun day.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's I did some photos. That's what I meant to say. I did some photos. I decided that I was gonna, we were gonna skip photo day, and I would take some photos of the kids, so that we didn't have to go to the giant waste of time for photo day.
Which, so, you've already paid for, though.
Maybe. No. You buy the pictures. You have to buy the pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
okay.
You it's like done by one of the, you know, whatever it is, one of the photo places, and
right.
You can get whatever you want. You can get baseball cards, you can buy just the team photo, you can buy individual shots. The individual shots are a complete joke.
So this guy comes out on spec, and then, yeah. and then shoots everybody and hopes to sell some.
Yeah, yeah, and again, I think a lot of people do, because you have to, even before you see the photos, you have to pre-fill out the form and submit your money.
Oh, you don't get to see them ahead
of
time?
No. So you basically going That's on blind odd. Faith that they know what they're doing. And so, yeah, you sign up before you ever see the complete joke that it is of, you know, the guy shooting his photo with the flash, bam, in the kid's face from 3 feet away. And, yeah, put that up on your wall. But what I decided was I decided that I'm going to take my battery off Craigslist. I had a lot of offers in the 250 range, which is probably about what it's worth, but I didn't want 250. I wanted to keep it if that's all I could get. So I decided after whatever 5-6 offers at 250 and nothing higher that I was going to keep it for this year. I'll sell it for 250 next year, once I get another year use out of it, and maybe I decide that I want to permanently keep it, because for baseball, this is awesome. So I took just the one flash, so just the studio flash with the battery out to the diamond, and found, like, you know, a big a background where we play where it was just an empty diamond in behind, and I just posed the kids, you know, basically just doing either pose with a bat or glove or whatnot. Took, you know, 5 or 6 photos of each kid, and just used the studio flash. There, it was 12 o'clock noon. It wasn't a blue sky day, but it was sun overhead, so you kind of get, like, I could use the sun to kind of sort of create almost like a hair light effect, sure. And then just overpower the light with the studio flash, and just no umbrella, just blam, studio flash with the silver reflector around it, and got some really, I was super happy with great results. Doesn't really look like flash photos unless you know a lot about photography. It looks like pretty natural light. So
You're looking at your son's pants.
Yes, yeah.
Other than that, you're not going to know.
Yeah, I think at first glance, nobody's going to know other than people who do photography or know a lot about light. You see a little bit of a shadow underneath his hat, but I put a sample baseball card that I've been working on. I started working on last night. I'm still probably going to tweak a few things, but I made a baseball card, and I thought I'd throw it in there, and you could put it up on our website and Facebook just to sort of see here's what 12 noon can look like with a studio strobe. This is hard. This would be hard to do with flash, to both get, you know, the depth of field that you want and, you know, high speed sync it for this. You'd have to, you wouldn't be able to do that. And you probably need 2 flashes. And even then, I'm not sure you have the power to.
Wait, so how did you get the depth of field?
Well, I basically, with my camera, I can go ISO like under 100. So I dropped the ISO to the absolute lowest possible, 50, and then using the 70 to 200, I was able to shoot. I'm not sure if I actually could get as low as F4. I might have gotten F5, but then just back way up and zoom way in, and then use the 200 millimeter and your distance from your subject to create the depth of field, because the background is way back. So it's a couple hundred meters back. So the combination of me standing in the right spot with the right lens was able to create the depth of field, even though I don't think I was able to get all the way down to F4 with that lens.
No, I'm thinking, like, if you are shooting at what would be called ISO 50, essentially, let's say you're shooting at F16 and ISO 100, you're looking at 1/100th of a second for shutter speed.
Yeah.
So your sync speed here is 200?
I think it's 1/180th.
Okay, call it 200 for argument.
I think that's just what that
that should out. Get you. That should at ISO 50 should only get you to an F11.
Yeah, no, I got much lower than that.
So it must have not been. Were there clouds in the sky at all?
There were some clouds. Yeah.
Okay, there must have been something to knock it down. Otherwise, you're looking at an F11 or overexposing, which you don't want to do.
Yeah. No. It was. And again, I think it was just that. Like there was some cloud cover in the right spot where I was aiming, so that definitely helped. Yeah.
Okay, that's gonna knock you down 2 more stops then and get you to probably an F5.6,
which I think is what I shot it at. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So there you go. I mean, I thought at first, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm gonna have to use a filter or something, but of course I didn't pre-plan that and didn't bring it. But I was again super happy with the results that I was able to get with that studio flash, and I'm gonna do. Probably, I mean, it'll depend on the light I get, but I'm going to do a team photo at some point. I'm going to make a baseball card with each kid having essentially the same you know, template for the front of the card, and then I'm going to put the team photo on the back of the card and make them each a baseball card or two that they can have as sort of the year-end gift.
You're going to have people lining up to be on your kids' team next year.
Yeah, there was a few requests from last year as a result of the photo stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, they start seeing this, and it's one of those things where, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's like, I'm happy to do this for my kids and maybe a couple of his friends and his team. There's no way I'm doing this, especially if you're getting prints made for everybody.
Well, the beauty of it is, in sort of how I figured out with baseball cards, is if I print one 5x7 per kid, that's 4 baseball cards.
Right.
So that's 4 fronts. So it's, you know, 2.5x3.5. So I basically need one 5x7 print of each kid, and then I need to make, you know, whatever. There's eight or nine kids on our team, so I need to make nine prints of the back, which are, you know, at Costco, 50 cents or something for a 5x7.
Right.
So something ridiculous. So really, this is minimal cost. And then I have a zillion hockey cards, and I'm just going to affix them to the front and back of a hockey card so that they have the weight of a real card.
I see.
Yeah, because I still can't find a local printing place that just does this, which would be my preference. They all, the ones that I've seen, all have their own templates, and I can't just import mine and just use,
they're terrible.
This. Yeah, it's awful. So yeah. I basically have to do this myself. But I like the results, and I did it for hockey for my kid, not for the team. But the hockey teams are much larger, so 8 kids. This is completely doable for me.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Yeah, so when I get the back photo, there's a couple kids that are away, so I gotta wait till everyone comes back to do the team photo, and then I'll probably do that with the flash as well. Well, at least I'll bring the flash just in case the weather doesn't line up.
I also shot some a baseball related photo.
Okay.
I say photo because it was more of a Photoshop.
Yes.
But for the for our home games, we put out a program for that day.
Yeah.
And in the past, traditionally, they just throw on some sort of iPhone snapshot of a baseball related, you know, maybe a picture of us playing against the team we're playing on, you know, that day.
Right.
Right. And so I said, well, let's have some fun with it. And so the first one, I did the one where was my photo challenge, or, you know, it was Clarence's back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I put that one. That was kind of like, I was short notice, so I didn't have time to go crazy. So, but this week, I said, no, I'm going to focus on a couple of the young kids, and I wanted to do them, I wanted to have fun with it. That was the idea. I wanted to have a lot of fun and make it a talking point, sort of to distract from the play on the field. Just have people talking about the program.
Okay.
That's my plan. But back in the sort of in the 80s, there was a whole stretch there where there was a lot of fun, goofy, kitschic baseball and sport. Well, not just baseball, sports posters.
Okay.
Do you remember them? Like the Bash Brothers with Canseco and McGuire.
Oh,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And the big, like the blow-up bats they had. And, you know, it was Warren Moon. And there's a whole bunch of them. And I thought, you know, we're going to start doing something like that for the team. So I went ahead and made the two kids on the team who are friends a 70s cop duo.
Okay.
And there you go. So that's what that photo means.
Helbert and Stoltz.
That's their names.
Very nice. I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, so it fits in. And
so it's like in the name of, like, what, Turner and Hooch?
Starsky and Hutch.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Well, I wasn't sure if you knew. They don't know.
The car was kind of the giveaway, but.
And the font and everything. Yeah, but yeah, the car definitely. But they these guys did not know. Like they don't even know the reboot. No, but they don't even know the reboot with Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson
and Snoop Dogg. Don't forget Snoop Dogg.
And Snoop Dogg. So I thought maybe they might have seen that one, but no. These kids they're in their teens, so it's you know.
Okay.
Not to be expected, but they, to their credit, they came over to my house, and like I said, like, hey, I need to get this in. I'll get the whole thing mocked up. You guys just come over, and I'll shoot you in the basement, and then I'll put it in. I didn't tell them what it was. Like they had no clue. All I said was, hey, show up with your hats. Bring your game hats, and your gloves. Bring your gloves, and do you have a leather jacket? So one of the guys, you know, he borrowed his dad's leather jacket. And the other kid did not. So I said, all right, well, take my pea coat. That's very 70s cop show. And I said, do you guys have dress shirts? No. Like, they don't own, they didn't bring any. They don't own dress shirts. So, oh, okay, well, go to my closet. So I gave him a couple of my dress shirts and said, all right, guys, there you go. And to their credit, they had no idea what I was doing, and they just said, all right, well, we're going to trust you and go with it. So I was pretty thrilled about that.
And so you shoot them on a green screen, or is this just a white background, or what'd you do here?
I shot them on essentially a dark red screen, because that's what I have for a wall.
And then cut it out.
Yeah, and just quickly cut it out. And it wasn't too hard to do. It took, you know, probably 20 minutes total.
No, because of the hats, and there's no, like, especially the first guy's pose, like, it couldn't be simpler as far as cutting it out. The other guy, you've got a few spaces and gaps where it might be a little trickier with the sunglasses and,
yes,
and whatnot. But, yeah, the pose is key when you're cutting people out, especially when you don't have the green screen.
I was very aware of that, having been burned in the past. And I knew these guys had short hair, and I was very specific about, okay, you know, hold your glove here, hold it in front of you, which I wanted to do anyway, just to compress the whole action.
Yeah.
But I mean, I had this all in mind, exactly how it was going to go and like how it was going to look when I was done. Yeah. So I knew to face one guy one way, one guy the other way, and I knew they'd be overlapping like that. And I knew I wanted to backlight them. Like, so the light sort of comes from the middle, which is kind of weird, but it fits.
Yeah.
Because they're backlit. But I didn't change the lighting except for physically moving it. Like, I took the key on one guy, and the backlight was diagonal to it, and then just flipped them when I shot the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so other than that, didn't change the intensity or anything like that, but you can see on the peacoat, nice even backlight, just like a hint of it, whereas the leather jacket was kind of shiny, so you get like a lot more of a kick to it.
Gotcha.
There you go.
I like the A squared license plate.
Oh, that was a little tidbit for the kids. Just sunk that in. Yeah.
Yeah. So where does this go? You say on a program or something?
Yeah, our weekly program, like for the on game day.
So printed in color or black and white or what?
Color, yeah.
Printed in color and then gets handed out to everybody who comes in?
Correct.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so then we have a few more. We have, you know, we'll do a different one each week, each home game. And so I have a few more in the pipeline that I want to do. Sort of take everybody's kind of personalities, even though these guys aren't actually 70s cops. Nice. This was just fun. But there's a couple other ones where I'm going to take the guys' personalities and you know, like these two guys, I'll put them in a skirt, for example. Just kidding. Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Are you going to make a big deal out of that? Come on.
And then you get a big poster printed for their bedroom.
I might actually do that. They'll like this, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, we have a few more, and I'll post them as we take them.
Cool. I like it.
One more bit of business in the what's going on department before we move on.
Okay.
Leica has a new camera came out.
Okay.
I forget what it's called. Don't really care. I'm not buying one. They're $6,000 without a lens.
Okay.
However, it is exactly what I want.
Minus the $6,000.
Minus the price tag. I would like Fuji to step in and take the lead, follow their lead, and make a you know, $700 version would be nice.
That's just as good.
I don't care about just as good. Like, Leica's too good. Leica's really great. It's not the Leica part that I like. It's the fact that since the beginning of digital photography, I have wanted a very nice camera without an LCD screen. This is a digital camera with no LCD screen at all.
Okay.
That's it. Like, what you shoot it and you see it later. You don't get to know what mistakes you're making, or there's no chimping at all. It's just you're taking pictures and moving on with your day.
Gotcha.
I love it. I really want one. Fuji, please make one. The end.
Okay.
Okay. Any thoughts?
Nope. No thoughts. I'm not going to buy one either way.
Even if it was in the $800 range. Like, it's a rangefinder.
Yeah.
So it's wildly compact. You're going to get great images. Now, the Leica has interchangeable lenses, obviously. It's a Leica.
Yeah.
But if the Fuji were to make one with just the fixed lens, I guess at that point they make it with the 23mm lens, like on their
S whatever 100,
the XS XT, yeah. 100, the 23mm fixed lens. If they made that without any like electronic viewfinder or LCD screen, I'm in.
Yeah.
Love it.
But even that, I mean, it becomes still $2,000, you know? Like, I can't ever see it being $700.
But they save money on the LCD screen.
All right, well, keep dreaming.
Don't you get it?
Yeah.
I
get it, yeah.
All right.
When it gets to be $700, let me know. Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a heads up.
Okay.
All right. This week's topic. Oh, photo challenge. I didn't mark photo challenge down. Let's do that.
Let's do the photo challenge.
I almost skipped ahead. Whoops. Photo challenge this week was high contrast, black and white.
Okay.
There's actually a reason for it. We'll talk about that next week, actually. There's the topic for next week's show. We'll touch on this. But for this week, let's talk about you. Let's have a look at your image.
Okay.
Great. Love it.
It's Adam Carolla.
It is. And did you have it, when you were shooting this, did you have it in mind for the challenge?
Well, I knew that I was going to get something on stage because it is that situation where you've got spotlight effect on it. So it's relatively easy to get a high contrast image because the light falls off real quick. It's aimed at the people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just looking for an image where I could isolate because they had this... They had like a table, like, again, a lot of stand-up comics have on stage, and it had a couple of bottles of water and I think a coffee cup on it. And it was just hideous, but it was right smack dab in the center of the stage, and he was always kind of standing nearby it. And so I was trying to get something where I didn't have to have that because, again, the spotlight was on it. It was basically right beside that chair in the image, and so I was trying to get an angle where I could block it out. So I used people's heads and just kind of crouched down a bit. Now I'm at the very back of the theater taking this. So I'm zoomed in. I don't know what this is, 150 mils or something like that. Maybe 200. I don't know. Somewhere in that mid range, because I don't want to get in people's way taking these photos. Everyone's enjoying the show. So I basically just stood right at the back of the floor seating and then just zoomed in. And I moved around the theater a bit to again, find different angles. But yeah, I had specifically had in mind, you know, an isolated shot of him and then trying to get the table with the water bottles out of the image.
We've got just enough of the crowd in there so we know that, you know, there's people watching.
Yeah, you know, it's live. You know, it's a live kind of show. Yeah.
Yeah. Had you cropped it in tighter without that, I think the image would suffer. I like the fact that there's people there.
Yeah, and I had a couple of different shots similar to this. One with a huge kind of cracked up sort of smile on him, and I almost chose that as the image. But I like this because it was just a little bit more subtle, just a moment. And mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, I basically just tinkered with the contrast and then the because the lighting was ever changing on the stage, I played around a little bit with the white balance even before the black and white, because I can't remember if this was a kind of a yellowy tinged light that was, or it was blue. I mean, it was always changing. So,
right.
Yeah, I tinkered till I got the sort of tones that I wanted.
I find that like these sorts of images lend themselves to black and white anyway, because of that, because of the stage lighting, they get to go crazy. They throw a lot of gels in, they get blues, reds, yellows, you know, all over the place.
Yeah.
And so it depends where the subject is kind of walking on stage. Like, you're just in for a dog's breakfast.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly. And so if you can sort of mitigate that by just shooting in black and white. And I like it better anyway, less distraction. It's very, very clear, you know, what the subject is here. And this is a great, great black and white photo.
Okay.
All right. I also shot a black and white high contrast because that was the challenge.
Okay.
There it is.
I like it. Did this guy play for the Mets at all, or?
No, he's wearing a Brewers hat too, so he's mixing. He's mixing teams here.
Yeah, because I mean, when I look at this image, the first thing I think is that Mets like just pops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me think, okay, this guy must have played in the Mets farm system or something to do with the Mets, because it just shouts, "Hey, I played for the Mets."
But you know, it's funny. He'll be thrilled. I'll let him know.
Yeah.
No, he's just a fan. He plays in our organization, and he was at practice the other night. And I brought my camera to practice because I knew I needed a photo. I didn't want to take a picture of, you know, my kids again.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, there'll be somebody at practice, and I can snap one after practice, and that's the plan. And I had no intention of it being baseball related. Like, the fact that, like, that's actually our field in behind, you can't really tell. It's just, it falls in the darkness.
Right.
right? So I knew I kind of wanted something with the sky and that, because it was, you know, foreboding, the clouds and all that would make for good high contrast. He was the only guy left at the very end of practice. Like I was hitting late and most people had left. And so I asked him, hey, take your pictures. Two guys left. One had to hold the flash because I didn't bother bringing a stand. I knew someone would hold it for me.
Right.
And I just threw it in my bag. So so one guy held the flash, the other guy was in it, and I thought, kind of didn't want him to have his Met stuff on. But in the end, it looks good. I just didn't want to keep doing the theme of, hey, baseball, 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 baseball.
Right, right.
But it actually works. The way the light hits it and the way it really flashed, you know, sticks out, I have no issue with it. So the good part about this is that my favorite part is how ridiculously simple this is to do.
Okay, so take us through it.
Well, this is the 40D with the 30mm lens I brought with me. I anticipated doing it a little earlier. I didn't think practice would go so long that evening. And so I figured it would be a little earlier in the day, and I wanted to really cut as much light out as I could and like really bring the contrast out in the sky. So I brought an ND6 filter and a polarizer so that I could really, really cut down that skylight. In the end, I didn't need it. It was getting so dark, sort of, you know, around 8:30, whatever this was, that I could just shoot it as is. So, ISO 100, go to 1/200th of a second, which is just below the sync speed on the 40D, throw it on, I'm going to say F5.6 got me this dark, dark image. And obviously he was in darkness too, but... So I had another guy on the team hold the flash, put it on, I think it was on like 1/32nd power or 1/16th power on full zoom, and stand off to my left.
Right.
And basically got, you know, so I had the background image, the background exposure set, had the LCD screen, even though I'm shooting raw, I still have the LCD screen set to black and white, like the picture, what do you call it, the picture style?
Preview, yeah.
Yeah, so I can see what it's going to look like, a reasonable idea. And... basically got that set, and then had the guy with the flash just keep moving back until the flash was the right amount of flash on his face, the right intensity, and that was it. So it was three shots, one background, one test, backup, done.
Nice.
And easy peasy, and then throw it into Photoshop, adjust the, like you did, adjust the tones a little bit in black and white, and crank up the contrast, and it's that easy.
Okay.
But like I said, we'll talk a little bit more about this next week and how to get this sort of look.
Sounds good.
This week, we're going to find out about your experience shooting the Corolla Live show.
Okay.
So let's hear about that. First, you start. Where did you start?
I showed up. I went to the venue probably about an hour and 20 minutes beforehand. I'd sort of discussed with the producer like what would be ideal. I wanted to come and take a few setup shots, and he said, yeah, sure, you know, come, we'll be there anywhere between, you know, around 90 minutes ahead of time, sort of getting things ready and sound checks and blah blah blah. And so I said okay, so I went downtown to Vancouver and planned to be there. I wanted to be a little bit more than an hour in advance because the doors open an hour ahead. And then I thought, okay, I might miss something that's interesting beforehand. So I went a little bit earlier and went in with the producer, and they were basically...
You can say Gary.
The producer Gary. And they were setting up the stage and doing their sound checks and whatnot and lighting tests and all of that. So I just kind of stood back, and he said, you know, just wander around, do whatever you want. So I took some photos of the producer Gary, and he went kind of around the stage and sat in the different chairs, again, all with the sort of lighting, different lighting setups and testing the microphones. And I actually got a couple of what I really liked because of the stage lighting was high contrast. I almost used one of those photos as my photo challenge of the producer sitting. And it's funny because he's wearing a baseball hat, and at first glance, for sure, you would just think it was Corolla, head down. There's very, like, it's very dark on his face. You can't tell, like, if you didn't know who it was, you wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. And I really liked those photos. So I sent those specifically to him, but basically, yeah, I did that. It was so dark in there, and I was starting to think, like, what the heck am I going to do when the stage show actually starts, because it is so dark in there. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so I went around just looking at the different possible shots ahead of time. That's kind of just my workflow. I like to do that. I like to sort of know, okay, what I'm going to get if I stand up here versus at this side of the venue or that. So I did that for about 20 minutes. And then, you know, all people started showing up, and then I just basically, put my camera away. They all had stuff to do. And so the guys for the show were all getting all their info collected. The producer, Gary, basically is looking for all the little pictures and things he's going to be called upon for during the show. So I chatted briefly with him, but basically I just kind of sat and waited. I got a media photo pass from the venue. So the guy from the venue is like, oh, you got to have one of these. Mm-hmm. And they gave me this big media pass sticker to stick on my jeans so that nobody questioned me about what I was doing when I was taking pictures and whatnot. And then I asked about where, because they wanted me to do some photos of the stage, and then they also wanted me to do some the fan photos. He does like a meet and greet afterwards with all the fans. Anybody wants to stay, he's gracious enough to stand and take photos with everybody. So I sort of wanted to know where they were going to do that so I could figure out, you know, how I was gonna light it and what lens that I was going to need. So the producer kind of showed me, yeah, he usually does it over by his merchandise, because a lot of people, you know, want to either buy something or they want something signed and whatnot. So, we're going to do it over here. So he said, it'll be over here. So anyways, do you have any questions at this point?
yeah. I mean, so we talked a little bit about, you know, did we talk on the air or off the air about how to cover this, like how I would cover this?
I think we talked off the air.
Okay. And so, you know, did you take that into advice? Did you get some tight shots of, like, your badge, for instance?
I did. I took a picture of the badge this morning. Not during the event or anything, but
right.
This morning, yeah. But I tried to get some coverage. There wasn't any marquee out front. I kind of had envisioned a picture of the front of the venue with the marquee. There was no marquee. So they had a tiny little TV monitor inside the booth where the will call is, that, you know, was basically panning through different things upcoming. That was it. There was no mention
wow.
of anything. It was a crappy day that day in Vancouver. It was raining and drizzling off and on. It was very kind of sort of cloudy day. So I took a couple pictures of the venue outside. There were nothing photos. They looked terrible. And there was nothing to denote that the Corolla show was there. And so
no fans or anything.
There was fans that started a queue, but it was just again a horrible background. There's a hot dog food truck was right beside the line, and around the Commodore. The Commodore's kind of a nothing building from the outside. Mm-hmm. It says Commodore Ballroom. That's it. It looks like nothing from the outside. It's a much more interesting looking place on the inside, but on the outside it's nothing. And so I did take a few pictures. I didn't like any of them. So in the inside of the venue, I took a few pictures of the venue as the fans started to arrive, with wide angle, just to kind of show, you know, what the entirety of the venue kind of looked like. And I thought, oh, maybe they'll be interested. Again, they're photos that there's not that much to them. Fans sitting in chairs, you know, directed towards the stage. I didn't send them any of them. I have them, but I didn't particularly like them. But I did try to get coverage, and then I pretty much realized I'm not sure what the coverage is for. Or who cares, right? That's kind of
you do.
Maybe not really. I don't even really care. And so I was most interested if there was something really interesting, like a cool marquee with a bunch of fans standing in line. That would have been interesting. It just didn't present itself. So
right.
And so, and because I wanted to go inside earlier, I didn't want to stand around for the line outside to get really big or interesting looking. I wanted to go inside and out of the rain. So so I did that. And like I say, I did the most interesting photos to me were of the producer sitting in the different chairs because the lighting setup was cool. So maybe I'll post one of those, or I'll send one of those to you so you can post one of those. Because to me, that was about the only interesting photo. I was going to shoot the other guy that does the mixing board, Mike Dawson, But it was so dark that even with my camera and shooting in the dark, I couldn't get anything. Like, it was dark around his setup. So I wasn't going to go in there and say, hey, can I light a photo of you so I can take this? No, he doesn't care. And I didn't feel like doing that.
Right.
And I kind of knew ahead of time. I mean, you know, the use of these pictures is pretty much for them to post on their Facebook site, right?
Sure.
So, you know, this isn't stuff that's getting framed up in Corolla's studio or anything. So I thought, okay.
Unless you really nail it.
Well, and even if I did, I had some real good photos. I still think that they're just kind of passing by. I don't even know if he really looks at his photos, right? I know they go to the producer, but I don't really know if he gets his eyes on any of this stuff.
Well, I made a when I was with them in September, I made a 5-minute video. Was it that long? I don't even know.
It was maybe a little shorter than that.
All right, whatever. So even shorter. So I made that video. I know for a fact Adam has seen part of it.
Yeah, well, they watched it. They actually watched it during an episode.
Yeah, but up until then, I know Gary had made a joke. He told me, he's like, yeah, Adam saw part of it.
Yeah, and the reality of it is that was super unique in that nobody had done that, and it was also it was in Europe, and so that presented itself as something totally unique and different. People take photos at his shows, every live show he does, and he does hundreds of them. So I was pretty realistic with the fact that I was kind of doing this more for the producer and for the ability for them to post to the fans than I was for the guy, right?
Sure.
So that's fine. I mean, I know that going in. I didn't have any real delusions of, oh, this is going to go up in Adam's. No, I'm realistic.
Right.
This is Facebook stuff. So anyway, what were we talking about before that?
No, if you shot the coverage, but no. Okay. So now you're set.
I did, but recognize there wasn't a lot of stuff to shoot. So I did a few venue shots. I did a few prep shots, and then it was basically
dressing room.
It was nope. Never went back there. They basically said that Corolla was showing up a minute beforehand. So, and then everybody else too, like the other people were showing up very close, like the bald Brian, the guy that does the sound effects, and Gina Grad, the news girl. They're all coming close to showtime. So he's like, there's nothing to do there. So, and I didn't want to be in the way because the producer is doing his job. My whole thing was just be a fly in the wall. You know, if you can come up with something cool, great, but certainly don't be in the way of anything. That's the way I looked at it. So, I sort of said, anything you want me to do, by all means ask, and I'm glad to do it. And the producer was like, well, some shots of the stage and helping us up with the fan photos, and that would be awesome. And I was like, done. So,
right. Now, you're kind of glossing over that part. Like, this is probably the most important tip you can give anybody is do not be seen.
Yeah.
Do not be heard from. Don't be snapping your flash off when you shouldn't. Whatever this is. Now, whether it's, you know, I'm not saying specifically to a comedy show, but if you're shooting in anything like this, if you're on the set of a movie, if you're on, there are very, very important, expensive things going on around you. Don't disrupt them.
Yeah.
That's really key. I've shot behind the scenes, like video, like the things you see on the DVDs for movies. And my whole goal is to just be the fly on the wall. Nobody can see me. That's what I want.
Yeah. And that's exactly how I treated it as well. And so I never even went down the center aisle to try to get a close up or anything. I just thought, no. Like, this is going on Facebook, and why am I going to be that guy who, even if one person who's in the audience who paid for a ticket is thinking, hey, what the hell, that guy's in my way, then to me, then I haven't done my job. So I stayed to the outside the entire time, and like you say, long lens is necessary. There's a few things, critical things that as a photographer I think you need to have in your bag to do these kind of venue shoots. And one for sure is a long lens, because I, again, without that 70 to 200, I wouldn't get anything in this venue because it's a pretty decent ways to the back, and you need to have some reach. So, you know, even a longer lens would have been more ideal because you still end up cropping with the 70 to 200 a bit. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that is, if you have a long lens, that's great, but you need a camera that can do some serious ISO for this. This was dark. This venue was so dark, and I was shooting because Carolla never sat down the entire show, never touched that seat. So he's moving around the entire time, and he's bringing the microphone up and down, and he's pointing and directing. And so it's so dark in there. I was shooting in order to get, I think I wanted a shutter speed of about 1/400th of a second. I was shooting at ISO of 10,000 or higher. Like it would have been impossible. If I showed up there with just the 5D Mark I, I would have just basically dropped the camera and said, okay, well, this is a waste of time. It would have been impossible.
Right.
Everything would have been out of focus and blurry. And so the wide angle, the only time I used it, I think, was pre-show to take a wide-angle shot when nothing was moving. But no, because Carolla didn't sit down, if he sat down, I could have dropped the shutter speed. I could have chopped it way down. But because he never stopped moving around the stage, I was like, all right, I guess we're shooting at ISO 10,000. But I know with the 6D, or, you know, for anybody who's shooting a newer camera with the crazy ISOs they do, I was going to be able to control the noise somewhat, and then I could knock it down a bit in Lightroom after the fact. So the equipment is key. We talk about how, you know, equipment, you know, it's what you make of it, but in certain situations like this, it's, you can't do without the right gear. You're not getting anything in this kind of environment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is one of those rare times where you need that.
Now, the big thing was, and this is where kind of the thinking on your feet came. So the stage shots are what they are. You have enough time. The show goes for whatever, an hour and a half. And so you can figure out, and anybody who has a decent camera and a decent lens could have gotten some decent stage shots by moving around the venue and zooming in. And, you know, if you know about how to, like you say, contrast and blah, 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 do some post-production work, you'll get some decent shots. The challenge here was the fan shots, the meet and greet. And I just thought,
before we move on to that, in terms of on stage shots.
Yeah.
How many do you need at the end of the day?
A good question. I think I delivered them maybe 25 or something. They probably didn't even need that many.
No, you need three.
But
four.
But,
no, you need four. You need four.
Well, no, I wanted, like, because there's three characters, essentially. There's Carolla, then there's the news girl, Gina Grad, then there's Bald Brian, and I probably had, I don't know, two or three close-ups of each person. And then I had a few wide shots. And then I think I just included some where there was just a funny moment, like where Carolla's talking and the news girl's just cracking up or something. And I kind of liked that. Like, it sort of, to me, like, I almost included one of those images for the challenge just because it was kind of the same sort of composition. It was just the news girl had her head back, huge laugh on. And the only reason I didn't is because I hated the darn table with the water bottles and the coffee cup on it. Like, it's so distracting in the way it's, the light is right on it that I just like, I don't like it. But the moment is awesome. And so I included a bunch of those photos. Yeah, I think you're right. You know, probably don't, less than 10.
You probably need, I mean, you really, really need one of each of them and then one of all three together. That's essentially what you need. And then anything else is a bonus. Like, okay, if you get one of her laughing, one of her, you know, looking off, like those candid moments are great.
Yeah.
But if at the end you deliver four of those photos and then you're there for the fan photos, you're off the races.
Right. And I think, and I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know how many live shows Gina Grad's done with them. And so I wanted a couple of photos of her just because I thought that might have been her first live show. Again, I don't know that to be for sure, but I'm, as a fan, I can't remember her doing live shows prior to this. So might be wrong on that, but it would have been an early live show. So I thought she might get, one of those photos might get back to her and she might like it. So I thought for sure I'd do a couple of her. But like I say, that the stage part, you have the right camera, have the right lens, and then I think anybody can sort that out. But the real challenge came with the fan photos.
Now this is what I want to hear about because I've seen this in action, and there are a lot of balls in the air.
Oh my gosh!
Like, so tell us about what happened. First of all, Adam Carolla is very gracious.
Yeah.
And he, every show, he poses. He'll stick around and sign whatever, and he has merchandise or T-shirts or what, you know, your face if you want.
Yeah. Sign all sorts of things.
And he'll take a legit photo. Like I've been to these things before with other people, and you know they hang out and try to move units.
Yeah.
But I've seen him too, and he's actually engages briefly, but engages with everybody and is really there. And so it's kind of a big deal, and people love to get their picture with him. So how did that go?
Well, so ahead of time, I sort of asked the Gary, the producer, about, okay, well, where are we going to do the fan photos? And he said, oh, well, they'll, you know, do it right next to the stand where, you know, he's got all the different things, books and DVDs and T-shirts and everything for sale. So the merch stand. Now, I looked at it and it didn't really occur to me at first, but the merch stand was right near where the people enter and exit. So there's in the Commodore, it goes downstairs and they come up through the stairs, but the merch stand was right near there. So the show ends and Corolla goes backstage for whatever, a little breather for whatever, 15 minutes. And then they announce, okay, you know, anybody who would like to stick around, Adam will be signing, whatever, you know, form some kind of line away from the merch stand. So no one's really organizing any of this. It's just kind of announced over a loudspeaker. And then what I see happen is, okay, I want to guess that the venue, they announced there was something like the venue would hold about 1,100 or so people. There was 1,100 people there. Like, it was packed and people everywhere. And so I'm going to say 2/3 of those people probably stuck around for the photos.
Right.
So when they announce this, there's just people everywhere and all angles around this merchandise stand and nobody to organize anything. And I look over at Gary and I just say, you know, what I can't even get in there. Where am I even going to stand? It's just a mass of bodies, right?
Right.
And because the exit is there too, people are milling around there. There's nowhere for me to go. And he said, well, when Corolla comes back in from the backstage area, when he comes, just try to get in behind him in his wake and so that you can work yourself up to the front. And I'm like, all right, this sounds like a good plan. And I'm just looking at the situation going where he had said, I'm going to stand and take photos. There is no physical possible way. It is so loud in there, like you can't hear anything. And so Corolla starts walking by. I try to get in behind him. There's a security guard. There's Mike August. I don't know what his exact title would be.
Just August.
Yeah. So I try to get in behind them and I'm following them. I can't get to where they're going on the floor and nobody can hear anybody say anything. And so they turn to me. They recognize that I'm going to do the photos. And they basically say, well, can you do them from up on that step up there? Like, there's stairs, but just basically up and behind where the merchandise stand is, there's like another floor there, but it's only up maybe 3 or 4 steps. And they're like, well, based on where the line is and where all the people is and where everyone's exiting, they're like, can you stand there and sort of shoot down a bit and get it from there? And I say, sure. Now, as my prep before this, I looked at it going, I don't know if a 50 mil is going to be possible. I wanted to shoot everything with the 50 mil with just an on-camera flash. And I brought the small mini flash softbox thing that goes right on the flash, whatever you want to call that thing.
Yeah.
Though you've got one of them too. And I thought, okay, nowhere to bounce light anywhere. Everything's black ceilings everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's completely dark. And they didn't bring up any house lights. It's dark in there.
Oh,
and so,
no.
So I'm like, it is so dark that I'm not even sure if the camera's going to be able to focus, right? So I'm looking at it going like, really? I'm thinking to myself, is this really how you guys do this? Like, it's not like you haven't done a million of these live shows and taken photos. This can't be how you're going to do it, right? And so, yep, that's how they're going to do it. So when I, 2 minutes before I sort of followed in Corolla, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to stick the wide angle on the camera because if 4, 5, 6 people want to get together in a shot, based on where I think I'm going to situate myself, there's no way I'm going to be able to back up, right? I'm not going to be able to back up with the 50 mil and I think I'm going to be too close. So I put the wide angle, the whatever 19 to whatever it is, 25 on there and just thought, worst case scenario, I'm too wide, right? But that's better than being way too close on everybody. Mm-hmm. So I put that on and then they got in their spot and basically I was shooting ISO 1600 with flash, I think flash power on about Because I wanted it to be able to recycle, right? Because they were going to go one after another after another. And I had, I looked at the line and saw it was like forever long. And so I had like a bunch of batteries in my pocket, but I basically thought, okay, I'm going to crank the ISO up a bit so that the flash can recycle faster, right? So I shot it at ISO 1600 and just basically popped the flash in everyone's face. I'd say 90% of people are in focus of the photos I did. There's occasional where it's a close where it's a close miss because the camera really just had a hard time, and that's even with the focus assist off the flash and whatnot. But I also thought with the wider angle, better chance of more people being in focus because almost everything's in focus with the with the wide angle. So anyways, it turned out to be pretty good. But even at that ISO 1600, like, it falls off fast. Like, it's crazy how dark it was in there. So that put all my my camera skills to the test, just kind of thinking all the things. Okay, what lens is going to be appropriate here based on what all the situations that are going to present themselves? How am I going to gain focus? There's literally people crowded in around behind me, so I could not back up. I put back up 1 foot and I'm tripping over somebody.
That's
so,
approximately the worst feeling in the world.
Oh, I was helpless. I was absolutely helpless. And I also just want to be the fly on the wall. I don't want him to walk away thinking, holy crap, that was just a gong show with the photographer. Why the heck couldn't he make that work? We do this every week and it's fine, right?
Right. Nah, my experience wasn't that. It was a lot better situation than that.
Well, and that's what I think most of the time. This was not a good situation. So,
right.
Anyways, I think the photos turned out fine. It was just it was a headache of how I'm going to do this. And halfway through, I basically just popped the batteries out when I started to see the recycle time slowing down. Popped a fresh pack in, but I went through two full sets of batteries, and I don't know how many people. I think there might have been 100 fan photos, but there's often 3 or 4 people in a shot. There was a lot of people that got their photo taken with him.
Now, were people also bringing their own cameras up?
Oh, there was some of that. He tried to discourage it. He was basically redirecting everybody, look here. But oftentimes, a husband or wife or friend would try to pop up onto the stair and take a photo with their phone. And the funny thing was, everyone would leave, go away from the photo they took going, oh, I didn't get anything. Like, it was so dark that you couldn't, there would have been a blurry mess. Even with your flash from your phone going off, it was way too dark that, I doubt you could get anything. And a guy standing behind me, I could keep hearing him in my ears like, well, this guy can get something, right?
He's like, yeah, well, he has his own show.
Yeah, it was funny. So,
do you have your own podcast? No. Yeah. That's why he's here, because he can deal with this stuff.
Yeah. And like I said, even with all the photos I've taken and the situations I've put in, that those fan photos were about as tough a lighting and people person situation as I've ever come across. And when I thought about this ahead of time, I thought, "Oh, this is going to be simple."
And then I thought the same thing because based on what I've seen, I was thinking, you know, do I tell Adam, like, you could bring a couple of soft, but you bring a softbox, man.
Oh,
like,
I thought about it, and then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And, oh my God, it would have got crushed if I brought anything. Yeah.
Oh, based on my experience in London, you totally could have brought it there. It would have been no problem. Everything would have been great. There, they didn't have a photographer. Like, I was doing video there, and so it was basically Mike August trying to use everybody's camera.
Right.
And he doesn't know how to use their camera, and P.S., he doesn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, he's just going to hold it down, fire away, and go, all right, there's your photo. So that's why they like having people like you come out, and ideally, I mean, in slightly better situations. I mean, I guess it would have been a little bit nicer if you had a little more room and a video light just to get focus.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what I thought afterwards. I'm like, should have brought the video light, because then I would have been able to get focus. I wouldn't have used it for any light. I just would have used it to grab focus. The best part was when someone would come up with their camera, then the light would come on from their camera, and then I'd be able to use that to quickly grab focus on the person. Mm-hmm. So I was totally cheating off other people's lights of their cameras, because, oh my goodness. And then they went to Seattle the next night and they post the photos on Facebook. If anyone wants to see any of these photos, they can just go on Adam Carolla's Facebook. Just type in Adam Carolla Facebook and then you'll see all the fan photos. And they credit me for the Vancouver photos, so you can go and see if you want any of the fan photos. I wasn't going to post any of those because they're what you think they are. But I saw the Seattle photos. I'm like, oh, they got a... a perfectly even, kind of simple, no people behind background there. I'm like, that looks like that was easy enough. And I think it was the problem of just the way the announcements made of hey, just line up. There was no kind of like order or organization to the lining up part. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, where they were positioning it versus where the exit was just, it's just the wrong spot to do that there. And yeah, so it was just a combination of, all right, make the best of it. But you always see the, like all my photos, you got just random people like in the background all over the place. Cause it's just all crowded around. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was fun. And then some people like everyone's just drunk off their rocker. Like it was, so that makes it easy too. Cause you know, people are looking in every which way. And I think it's funny. I was like basically one shot a go and then just move it along, right? Like it's like you're a shot and then you move along. Mm-hmm. And half the time people are looking completely in the wrong direction. Corolla, bang on. Every photo, he's looking right at the camera, big smile on his face, but everyone else is looking in every which direction half the time. So that was funny when you're going through them going, all right, batting average is about 1 out of 4 where the fans are actually looking at the camera.
But you made the right call, not shooting it again. Just say, hey, well, that's you.
Yeah,
move on.
Yeah, yeah. It was basically a one shot and done. And a couple of times, if the flash didn't pop, I'd let the guy have another go. So I might have
oh, that's
three
on
or
you.
Four times. But that's on me because of this recycle time and all of that. So
all in all, good experience?
Good experience. And they were happy with the photos. Gary, you know, sent me a really nice email and thanking me and all of the rest of it. So again, very, very gracious. And I like getting tested like that. I think when you've put yourself in those positions and then you've managed to find a way to survive and get something decent and usable out of it, I think, again, it makes you more confident for the, hey, I can figure this out even though this is an ideal situation.
Right. Well, I hope you're telling the truth because I'm about to phone Gary and get his side of it.
Yeah, yeah, go for it. I think.
No,
yeah.
I am. I'm not joking. I really am.
Okay, you get his side of it.
And
He had nothing really to do with the photo part of it. He was basically chatting up fans way in the background. He August would be the one that saw the gong show that and afterwards Gary was kind of like, oh, how'd that go? And I was like, oh yeah, it went fine. You know, like I wasn't gonna say what the heck was that, house lights would have been nice. But I think because everyone is completely hammered drunk, maybe that's why they don't bring the lights up.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, good call. Good call. Now is the part where we are going to cut to Gary, and just so people, if you don't know who Gary is, if you listen to the Adam Carolla show, you do know who Gary is. He's a producer there, but he's starting to be on the air a little bit more. You know, he interjects and produces multiple shows over there at Carolla Digital. So he does the Adam Carolla show. We'll hear from him, but I think it's the Reasonable Doubt he does with, and then the one with Dr. Drew as well. And basically, what as I'll explain to Gary, if you want to be a good hitter in baseball, you practice hitting, but you also go and you talk to pitchers. Nothing to do with hitting, but you talk to pitchers. How do those guys pitch? And so that's why I kind of wanted to get the other side of things. If you want to go and be good at taking photos in this kind of situation, is you listen to what Adam, you know, Adam Schwartz, our Adam did, you take that, but you also hear from the other side about what they want. And so I'm going to go and find out what it is that they want out of this situation and their thoughts on it. So without further ado, here is Gary and I. You had a tough trip?
It was fine. I got a little sick. I had I got some food poisoning in Seattle, so that was a little rough. But other than that, it was all good.
Good. That's a tough sled when you have to drive down to Portland.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was pretty unfortunate. It happened right in the middle of the Seattle show, so I was a pretty big mess. For the pictures afterward, I'm trying to sell merch with a trash can next to me. So it was. It was pretty brutal, but you know what? That shit happens, and I survived.
Awesome.
Hey, your Adam was great. Thank you again, by the way.
Oh yeah, my pleasure. I just got finished talking to him.
Yeah, he was. Super nice guy, and all the pictures look great. He took some really cool shots of me doing sound checks on stage. I think I'm gonna use one of them as my new Twitter picture.
Good.
Yeah,
that's what he said. Yeah, I said we just talked all about his side of, you know, like shooting something like that, and that's what our listeners will want to hear. And I, as I said to him, you know, like if in baseball, if you want to be a better hitter, you go talk to pitchers.
Sure.
So that's why I want to get your angle and hear from you and how this all goes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in terms of actually setting up the show, Dawson and I will get there, you know, an hour or two beforehand and check out the show and make sure that all the sound checks are done and all that before we open doors. And then once the doors are open, we're just kind of sitting around waiting. You know,
before we do that, who are you?
Yeah. Oh, fair enough.
I intro'd you. Some of our listeners know who you are. But for those who don't, I intro'd you as, you know, you're Gary, your producer Gary on the Adam Carolla Show, but there's you do more than that.
Yeah. I produce, most of the shows at the network. I produce, the Adam Carolla Show. I co-produce the newly revised Adam and Dr. Drew Show that just went to 5 days a week in place of the now defunct Loveline. I co-produce Dr. Drew, Ace on the House, which is our home improvement property, Reasonable Doubt with Mark Gergis, and just in general try to help Matt and Chris keep the trains running on time over at Carolla Digital.
And you're doing a great job. I mean, you guys have built up quite a lot in the last, well, I mean, going 5 days a week with Dr. Drew is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and Reasonable Doubt is humming along like crazy. I haven't really announced it publicly, but I'm in the process of booking Christopher Garden from the O.J. Simpson case right now to be a guest. We just had on Dean Strang, who we had on by phone from the Making a Murderer case, but he actually came in studio for a second appearance. So yeah, we've added a lot of good properties lately.
Okay, so can I announce that publicly?
Yeah, no, I'm announcing it. I'm announcing it publicly here. I'm just not. I haven't put it on my Twitter. We haven't put it out on any of the show stuff. I've teased it once on the Adam Carolla Show, but it went from we think to I'm now on email chains with Chris. We're just trying to figure out a day.
Oh, that's great. I look forward to hearing that. I mean, it's
so do I.
I watched the miniseries.
And so did I, yeah.
Having lived through it, I mean, I remember where I was when I heard the verdict, and it was, you know, it was a strange thing to live through. Now to look back 20 years now, right?
Yeah, it was really weird for me watching that series. I loved that series. I thought it was excellently acted and well written. It was really cool. But see, I don't remember where I was when I heard the verdict. I was trying to figure it out. But what I do remember is where I was when the Bronco chase went down. Mm-hmm. And that's because it was my last day of fifth grade. And we watched the chase. And then me and my dad went down to the local elementary school. And all the dads and the kids had like a little camp out on our soccer field. Everyone brought tents. And that was the day of the Bronco chase. So it was really weird considering, you know, you have a few years on me, so you were a little bit more mature when all that was happening. I was still a kid. I mean, when the Bronco chase happened, I think I was 10.
Yeah, I think I would. I was in my 20s, early 20s. I was golfing that day.
Ah.
Ironically.
Yeah.
Yeah, so to have him on, to have Chris Darden come on, I mean, I really am interested to hear his perspective on things. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to hear his perspective on the show, and I'm also just interested to hear an unfiltered perspective, you know, 20 years later on, you know, how he thinks that shaped the legal system, because whether you want to admit it or not, that case being front and center in the American media for so long definitely changed the way jury trials work.
Oh, no question. I mean, it kind of reshaped, you know, society, and well, we have the Kardashians now, so...
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of it. Okay, so yeah. Specifically, I mean, we can go on for a long time, but I know you don't have forever. So as a producer on doing live shows, specifically live shows, what does a producer do for the live Adam Carolla Show?
So, you know, I'll give you the full answer. I mean, I don't know if this all falls under the title of producer, but with our crew, it does. So from Jump Street, while I'm still back in L.A., it involves making sure I have all the bios done with all the plugs and the facts and stuff that Adam's going to need on stage for our various guests. Have those all printed out on cards. We typically do pieces of paper, but on stage it's easier to have like an oversized 8x5 note card. So we have all of those printed out. We make sure that we have a couple hundred question cards printed out and a couple hundred what can't Adam complain about cards. I used to try to plan with Adam in advance what he wanted to do and just take those. And then he started calling audibles on me at the last second and deciding he wanted to do bits that he had told me he did not want to do. So now I travel with everything. So we make sure we got all the bios, all the cards for the bits we may do, all the gear, and then all the ads, any live reads he's going to have to do on stage. Get all that stuff printed out. I've 3 or 4 times as many copies as I need just in case something goes wrong, which has happened in the past. And we pack all that stuff up. We pack up the gear, and we pack up a big bag of merch. And we take that all, and we fly up to wherever we're going. Because of the way Adam likes to schedule his plane rides, we typically land at the airport, go straight to a rental car or a taxi, and the crew or the talent, Adam, August, well, not August and talent, but he might as well be, Adam, August, Gina, and Brian, we'll all go to the hotel, take a nap, got a bite to eat, something like that. Me and Dawson have to go straight to the theater. I mean, we went straight from the Vancouver hotel right to the Commodore and just start setting up immediately. And then we make sure we get all the merch set up. We get all the stage stuff set up, get all the wires run, all the mics run, get Brian's whole sound effects rig set up. And then it's about 15 or 20 minutes of sound check, which is typically Dawson at the board at front of house and me on stage. Running through all the mics, running through Brian's board, giving Dawson, feedback on how it sounds and where the speakers need to be modified for the talent to be able to hear themselves and to make sure that the audience can hear it good. And once that's all done, that's typically about an hour before showtime, and then we open the doors. And then until showtime, it's kind of a waiting game for me and Dawson. We kind of hang around and make sure nothing's going wrong and everything's all good. And then we just sort of hang out in the green room until Adam gets there, which he was a little earlier to Vancouver because he didn't have a Mangria signing. But typically, if he has a Mangria signing, he will show up to the venue literally the minute that the show is scheduled to start, and we'll go about 10 or 15 minutes late.
That's why I told Adam, our Adam Schwartz, the guy who took the photos, I gave him a kind of a heads up the week before and said, here's what to look for. Here's what I would shoot, shoot some behind the scenes stuff. That's what people like to see, right? Because,
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of our photographers, I'll tell them, feel free to take some pictures during the show, whatever you guys like. Please don't use flash. And then, after the show, obviously do the meet and greet photos. And a surprising number of photographers don't take me up on the offer to take shots during the show. It doesn't really matter to me because I have a lot of good live show shots from professionals like Adam who do take me up on it. But 7 or 8 out of 10, I just get the fan pictures, and it's always confusing to me. I never say anything because I don't care. But it's like, if you're a photographer and you want to come out and take photos, I mean, what better than to have? Because if you take a really great photo of Adam on stage, I'm going to use it on various places in the future and credit you. Mm-hmm. I have no reason not to credit somebody, and we're all about people helping us. So if you're going to come out for free and shoot photos for you, I'm going to give you credit for anything I use. So it's always weird to me when people don't take on stage photos, but Adam did, and he took some great ones. I mean, I mentioned the ones of me earlier, which I thought were funny, but he took some great ones of the staff on stage during the show, and it turned out excellent.
Oh, that's great. I mean, Adam's whole thing was, and it's, again, what we talked about, but he knew going in that his plan was to be a fly on the wall, and just he didn't want anybody to see him.
Yeah, and he did a great job of that. I mean, I introduced myself. We talked for a few minutes before the show, and I don't think I saw him again until the meet and greet. I mean, and based on the photos he took and that I saw later, he was all over that theater, and I never once saw him.
Right. Well, good. It's kind of the ninja. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we try to do.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I said, beforehand, I said, Corolla, again, I don't know Adam that well, but for the sake of, Adam Schwartz, Adam Corolla, Corolla shows up, I know, as he's being announced is what I've understood.
Right.
I said, so
yeah,
try to get backstage, maybe get a couple shots of him, beforehand, if you can, and then, go out and shoot the show. And he said he didn't even get a chance to meet him beforehand. He walked right in, right on the stage. That was that.
Yeah, he walked in. He walked in a little bit early, but then he had me start the show a few minutes early. It was a bit of a weird getting into Vancouver was a little bit unusual for us. And Adam was pretty tired, so I think that he ended up going back and napping. And when he does that, then he goes straight on stage because he doesn't want. He doesn't really even want to talk to anyone. He just wants to take all the energy he has and go straight out on stage.
Right. So then in the after the show, Adam explained to us how he took the fan photos and how he was sweating because he said it was so dark in there and there was so many people jammed in. It was a street fight just to get photos.
Yeah, it was. Vancouver was one of the more crazy shows that we've done lately. I mean, the fans were all super, super gracious and really nice, but they were all hardcore fans. I mean, there were every now and then, especially in the States, you'll get, you know, a crowd that's 2/3 fans and then 1/3 boyfriends or girlfriends or friends of friends who got dragged along and who, you know, oh yeah, I remember that guy from the Man Show, but you know, they're not crazy ardent. I need a photo and I want to tell you, you know, how the podcast has impacted my life. Vancouver was nuts. I mean, the fans were great, but it took me and Dawson 15 minutes each to get away from our boards because by the time Adam said mahalo and I like turned off my computer and turned around to walk away and start striking the stage, there was like 10 people waiting to talk to me. I mean, aside from the line for Adam, and which was crazy and took probably 45 minutes to get through. And Adam Schwartz is right. It was very dark in there. It was very cramped. The area that they had set up for us to take pictures was kind of the only area that there was, and it wasn't very good. I was a little concerned as to how it was going to end up turning out, but Schwartz made the best of it, and they look great.
Yeah, he did a good job. And like, originally I had talked to him, and I was debating, you know, like, because he has off-camera lights. Like, he has full studio lighting. I said, you know, are you going to bring those?
Right.
And then he thought, nah, there might be too many people. Like, that might be a bad thing. And he was glad.
You definitely don't want to do that. I mean, it's going to make the pictures better, but by the time you get to the photos with the fans, they're so drunk that you don't want your expensive gear standing there that can easily get knocked over. And, you know, then you're not only out your piece of equipment, but who knows who gets hit. And that's just a whole problem. But he certainly made lemonade out of what we had there.
So what are some of the advantages of having a professional photographer do the fan photos at the end?
Mike August does not know how to operate a cell phone, including his own. So
I helped him with his, yeah.
Yeah. So the advantage is basically it allows me to do the other portions of my job, which I need to do. And in a lot of these cities, I mean, Vancouver doesn't really apply because we had a hotel that was walking distance. But for instance, in Portland, which is our last stop of the weekend, we had a 6 a.m. flight out the next morning. So August put us at a hotel at the airport. Mm-hmm. Which is about 25 miles outside of Portland proper. So if I didn't have a photographer in Portland, then I would have had to have been out there taking the photos with everyone's cell phones because August just can't do it. And then I wouldn't have been able to strike the stage, pack up all our gear, and be ready to go so that when Adam takes that last photo, we can jump in the van and get back to the hotel. So it allows all of us to do our jobs, which is helpful, and it also keeps the line moving a lot faster. There's nothing Adam hates more. I mean, Adam loves meeting the fans. It's absolutely not a burden for him. What he doesn't want is people that have been standing in line for 20 minutes getting up to him and going, hold on, let me get my cell phone. Because that just goes against his hypervigilance of like, well, what have you been doing for 20 minutes then? Like, you've just been standing there. Like, you're not ready for this. It drives him out of his mind. And, you know, we don't want to do that because we don't want the person 3 back who has their cell phone ready, who's perfectly normal and has had 1.5 beers, who just wants their picture, to come up to a very pissed off Adam Carolla because of something they don't even know happened 4 people before them, you know?
Sure.
So that's the main function. That's where it comes from. The idea of the professional photographers was just strictly to keep the line moving so that we don't have to use different cell phones for every single one, and then we can just dump them all on Facebook and let all the fans get them there. But, yeah, it works out great when we have someone like Schwartz, but every now and then we get a quote-unquote professional photographer who, for instance, one guy in recent months came out and took all of our pictures and then sent them all to me, and I posted them, and I got like 4 emails saying, where's my picture? And I emailed the photographer and said, what the hell? Like, what's going on here? And he said, oh, well, the ones that were blurry, I didn't want associated with me, so I deleted them, and I don't even have the blurry versions anymore. Uh-huh. And I'm just like, oh my God, these fans, you know, because I feel horrible for these people that waited in line maybe 30 or 40 minutes. All they want is their photo with Adam. And as far as I'm concerned, that's part of the price of admission. We've been doing these things after every show for 5 years now. People know that. People expect it. It's part of the ticket. And
if you're told don't put, you know, put your cell phone
exactly. You can't use your cell phone. You are not allowed to use your cell phone. Yeah. That's when I start to lose my mind. But you know, you live and you learn, and that guy won't be coming back. So you know, stuff like that happens. But when you have somebody who's actually good, like Schwartz was, and thank you again for setting that up. I knew the second you emailed me that I was in good hands for Vancouver, because you know, you're a pro and you're not going to recommend somebody who you're not confident in. But when you have someone like that, I could tell from the moment that I met him, and you know, 90 seconds after talking to him, that I had nothing to worry about, and I just walked away and did my job, like knowing that it was going to be fine.
That's great. Now, do you get photographers at every live show?
We do our best. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes, more often than not, when we don't have a photographer, what happens is I'll confirm somebody several weeks ahead, and then when I go to circle up 2 days before, they'll bail out for some reason.
Really?
And then I have to scramble. Yeah, it hasn't happened a ton, but I think people, because we try to set this up like pretty far in advance so that we know we're covered, and we don't want to be scrambling. So we'll put it out there 3 or 4 weeks in advance of a live show, and I think people get excited and email us and say, I'd like to do this, and we say okay, and then they forget to put it on their calendar, or you know, who knows, life happens. But that's typically the only time we don't have a professional photographer. Sometimes if we're local in, you know, Pasadena or something, which is a smaller room, 150 people, if we put it out there and we can't get anyone, then I just won't bother, because in those cases I have my own car. It doesn't matter if I leave a little later, so I'll just sit out there and take photos with everyone's cell phone.
Right.
But yeah, it's Adam's gotten very accustomed to the professional photographer, and it cuts the line time down by, we estimate, 40%. So it's significant.
It's a great experience for the photographer as well. I mean, there are times everybody knows, and you're tired of hearing this. As a professional photographer, you're tired of hearing, well, do it for the exposure. This is one of those jobs you do for the exposure. Like, there are certain ones that you have to do, but this is a great, for many reasons, it's a great training ground. If you want to get better at being a photographer, it is a fantastic opportunity. My experience, I mean, when I met you, I mean, the first time I met you was when you walked in front of my camera when I was shooting video.
That's true. I had no idea who you were. Came in and I was like, who's this weird guy with the camera? But he's in here and no one's kicking him out, so he must belong.
You know, and so it's such a I mean, it's such a great training ground if you want to get better at being a photographer. So go out and do it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely. And you know, you get a nice mix of being, you know, having, you get a little freedom during the show to kind of do what you want and experiment and try to get some cool shots, and then you're kind of thrown into the pressure cooker. I mean, when Adam gets out there.
If you're respectful as a guy coming in there, like I said, you didn't know me, but you could tell right away that I was being respectful. I had carte blanche.
Yeah, dude, I'm not gonna, exactly, because and so did Schwartz in that exact same regard, because like I said, you know, 30 to 90 seconds after meeting this guy, I was like, okay, he's a pro. I have nothing to worry about, and I gave him an all access pass, and I told security, don't get in this guy's way. I mean, once, if you're a normal person who's coming out to do their business, that's going to be very apparent to me or whomever your contact is in a similar situation. And if I get the feeling that you're a pro and you're out here, you're trying to do your work, then I'm going to give you carte blanche to do whatever you want, because ultimately that's how I'm going to end up with the best product from you, is allowing you to do what you do. I wouldn't give you tips on photos, and I would hope you wouldn't give me tips on content for the Adam Carolla show. Now fans do. I'm not saying, but you know, it's like, I don't do what you do. I'm going to let you do what you do. You're better at it than me.
And that's the great experience. Like, you don't get that opportunity very often. So if you get a chance to go and shoot pictures for, one of the Adam Carolla live shows, don't hesitate, go and do it. Just do it well.
Well, hey, you guys got a good listener base of professionals and people who have the skills. So if you ever see a live show coming to a town near you, email questions@adamcarolla.com and just say, hey, Gary, you know, here's a link to some of my past work. I'd love to come out and join and tell me the city and tell me that, you know, you heard it on this podcast. And that's going to give you an automatic leg up, because that means you're into this enough to be listening.
And if that's the case, don't blow it, guys, okay?
Yeah, if you do, I'm going to blame it on Alan.
Where can people follow you on Twitter?
At G. Patrick Smith.
At G. Patrick Smith, to check him out. Gary.
And yeah, I try to be interactive. So if you have any questions about the show, I don't get to every single tweet, but I try to answer them as much as I can.
No, as Adam mentioned on the episode just now, that maybe it was off the air. Schwartz said you were like you're on your emails, and so same with Twitter. So
I got my email and my Twitter open on my desktop anytime my computer's open, which is about 11 hours a day. So yeah, I'm pretty easy to access. If you need to get to me, it's not that hard.
Well, check them out. Once again, Gary, thanks a lot for taking the time.
Hey, absolutely, Alan. It's great to talk to you, buddy. I hope I get to see you soon.
And we're back.
Did he say good things? You didn't. That was a surprise. You didn't let me know.
No.
Ahead of time that you had actually talked to.
I haven't talked to him yet.
Should I have changed my story?
No. Oh, if you want to. If it was not accurate.
I might actually listen to this episode to hear what he said.
I'll just tell you at what point it starts.
Okay.
You don't have to listen to the whole thing.
No.
That'd be awesome. I won't tell you, and then I won't include it, and then you have to listen to the whole thing. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
It wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's important to get the other side of things, and that's kind of what we're going to do a lot more of is getting other points of view, which will then help you become a better hitter, photographer.
Okay.
Should have wrote that down. Challenge photo for next week.
Do you have one?
I do. It's going to be tied in with. And I might have to explain this to you off the air, maybe, and then. We'll discuss it next week. So the challenge will lead into the topic for next week.
Okay, so without further ado...
Push process.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
And we'll talk off the air. Okay?
Okay. Websites. So nobody's doing the photo challenge this week.
Versus every week when it was just an avalanche of photo challenges. Our inbox every week is just... We can't... No more.
Slow it down, photo challenge submissions.
Everybody. One per listener, please. So we'll talk about that next week. What push process is?
Okay.
Just called pushing. But if I said pushing, we'd get into a weird area. So
yeah.
Websites. Adam, where can people find your photos?
AdamSchwartz.ca and potentially on Facebook if I ever post anything on Facebook again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been sort of slow. So
it happens. You go through waves like that. I understand.
And your stuff?
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links and photos and everything we just talked about. So until next week, get out there and make better photos.